Well, good morning, church. I hope that you are up. I hope you took the time to get dressed. I hope you are enjoying the music and our time of worship together today. Hey, let me encourage you that as you're watching online that you don't try to multitask. We're notorious for turning the TV on or the video on and then just letting our heads wander. We're here to concentrate and focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope you'll do that today, and I hope you'll enjoy it together as a family. I hope you stood and sang, raised your hands and clapped, and if you want to say amen at home, I'm not going to hear you if you decide to be my holler back hallelujah crowd, but feel free to do that. You say, well, Pastor Kevin, that's just going to be weird. It's not any weirder than preaching to the iPhone this morning, so you can do that, all right? I read a story this week that really kind of triggered something in me about what I've been wanting to talk about for several weeks. I'm going to start a series this morning on prayer and fasting. And I'm not doing it in a response to the virus. This has been on my preaching schedule for a long time. But it is more appropriate now maybe than even when I set it up. But I read a story about a mountain in Alaska, actually, called Fairweather Mountain. It is spectacular, and it is surrounded by glaciers. It rises 15,000 feet above sea level. Has massive granite walls and deep ravines. The interesting thing about Fairweather Mountain is that it's only visible about 20 days a year in its entirety because the fog seldom lives. But when the fog does lift and when the weather is fair, the mountain can be seen clearly. And that reminded me of our spiritual journey. Sometimes the fog of our life needs to lift so that we can see clearly who we are, but more importantly, who God is and how God loves us. And so for the next 21 days, I want to call the church to fast and to pray. I want to ask you for the next 21 days to give up one meal a day and to replace that with time of prayer, time of seeking God, time of Bible study, so that we can have the fog lift from our lives and see God more clearly. The scripture teaches us that we are to guard our hearts. In Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 20, Solomon writes these words, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them in your heart, for they're the life to those who find them, and health to a person's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far away from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot away from evil." You say, well, Pastor Kevin, that verse doesn't say anything about fasting. That's true, it doesn't. But that verse does say, guard your heart. I believe that fasting allows us a starting point to get our hearts right with God. When Jesus is talking to those who would be his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, he says, when you fast, don't look somber like the hypocrites. They disfigure their faces. They get all sloppy looking so that they can show others that they're fasting. Verse 17, he says, but when you fast, Jesus assumes that your spiritual journey is going to include fasting and prayer. And there's a reason behind that, and I believe that the reason is because it helps us have the fog lift from around our hearts so that we can see clearly. Jesus says there's a promise to this in Matthew chapter 6. When you fast and when you pray, your Father who sees what is done secretly will reward you. I believe one of those rewards is a fog-free heart. A heart that is able to be guarded against the things of this world. And if Jesus assumes that fasting is a good thing,
And if Jesus expects it to be done by his disciples, it is something that we should participate in. And yet it's one of the least practiced spiritual disciplines that we have. But the scripture is clear that fasting brings spiritual reward. That's what he told his disciples in Matthew chapter 6. For the heart of fasting, the central core of fasting, is longing for Christ. We are replacing what feeds the physical body so that we can dine on what feeds the spiritual soul. It's a simple concept, really. We're putting our stomach where our heart is and giving added intensity to an expressiveness of our ache and our yearning for Jesus. Just like we would have a physical hunger, when our tummy begins to growl, it is a reminder that there is a spiritual hunger that needs to be taken place. And so in this brief passage that we find in Proverbs, the wise King Solomon identifies for us some principles to guarding our hearts. And fasting helps us get there. The first of those principles is this: your heart is key to experiencing God. Your heart is key to experiencing God. So clear your notions that you're not worthy. Get rid of the thought that you are not acceptable. Get rid of the thought that God is not in love with you. You are precious to Him. And so as you begin this fast for the next 21 days, I want you to fast with the intention of seeing how much you are loved by God. And while you're fasting, I need you to ask Him that. Father, reveal to me my worth to You. I'm giving up food so that I can hunger for You. Let me know that I am loved. There are two phrases that stick out here. He says, above all else. And He also says that your heart is the wellspring of life. Above all else tells me that heart is a priority. It's not only a priority to you, but it's a priority to God. But it also says it's a wellspring of life, and that to me communicates a glorious promise. That to me communicates the promise that when the fog is lifted from around my heart, and when I understand that I am loved by God, out of that notion, out of that knowing, out of that reality, out of that truth, that there is this wellspring that bubbles up to remind me in the times of crisis that there is a joy and a hope and a help that comes from that knowledge. And so I want you to fast with that in mind. Fast with that notion. The text would identify that guarding your heart is one of the most important spiritual disciplines you can practice. We cherish the doctrine of self-denial, right? We talk about taking up our cross and all of those kinds of things, but the notion of guarding our hearts almost seems contradictory to that. I would suggest that the opposite is true. I would suggest that denying self or dying to oneself is what fasting is all about. Fasting is self-denial. And through the course of self-denial, we come to the place where we ask God to guard our heart by giving up something. Fasting is denying ourselves. Jesus declared that we should love our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength in Mark chapter 10. When describing the kingdom of God, Jesus revealed that the things that come out of the heart that defiles man. In Luke chapter 12, he taught, there's a treasure, and where our heart longs for, that's where our treasure is. Ephesians, the Apostle Paul prayed for the saints that the eyes of their heart might be enlightened. We find similar instructions in the Old Testament where we're commanded to trust the Lord with all of our heart. Earlier in the Psalms, we're told to hide God's word in our heart. The prophet Samuel revealed that God does not evaluate people on their outward appearance, but he looks on their heart. Perhaps the most significant verse talking to us about the value of the heart would be Romans chapter 10, verse 9, when it says that a person is saved by believing in their heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. It is with the heart that we open ourselves up to receive the love of God and the resurrected Christ from that Easter morning. And so above all else, guard the heart. Fasting can help you get to a place where the fog of your heart lifts so that you can begin to see clearly the love of God and you can begin to experience it on a regular basis. But guarding your heart is more about feeding your soul than simply avoiding the sin. When our heart is strong, we're able to resist temptation. When our heart is strong, we are able to stand more upright and keep from stumbling. The book of Proverbs identifies some of the things to avoid as you look at the last part of that verse, but it also contains numerous instructions to pursue wisdom and to pursue grace and to pursue love and to pursue discipline and to pursue life. And so while you're fasting, I need you to make every effort to fast with the intention of seeing how much God loves you. But I also need you to do something else. As you're fasting, it is imperative that you minimize the trash. Minimize the trash. And so I would encourage you to fast with the intention of having Jesus to clean that heart. To take those sins away. Guarding your heart includes seeking God, but we cannot ignore the instruction to minimize the trash from our lives. Verse 25, 26, and 27 talk about, after the command to guard our heart, talks about putting away perverse speech and looking straight ahead and choosing good paths. Can I just be honest with you this morning? Right now, one of the best paths you can take, one of the best things you can do, is to stop watching newscasts and to stop being engrossed in social media. Stop looking for ways to support your favorite politician or to bash the other politician. Stop reading the articles on COVID-19. Stop immersing yourself in pandemic. I'm not saying to live in a panacea. I'm not asking you to live in a world pie in the sky by and by. But there is so much good out there that when you engulf yourself in all of this darkness and all of this gloom and doom, your life begins to fill with the trash of despair and hopelessness and helplessness. And you begin to worry about whether or not you're going to have enough. And to worry about whether or not you're going to have enough and to hoard and to keep things from other people is not faith, it is fear. And so as you begin to fast, I'm going to ask you if you will fast with the intention to have Jesus clean your heart and for you to pair yourself with Him to scrub the trash out of your life. You see, He tells us in Matthew chapter 11 that we bow ourselves and get into His yoke, and while we're there, He teaches us, but He also expects us to do part of the work and pull part of the load. And there are lots of things that you and I can do to help the fog lift from around our heart. And so, as you begin to fast, I need you to ask and fast with intentionality that there would be a cleaning of your heart. What can you do? Well, the first thing I would encourage you to do is fall in love with your spouse all over again. Fall in love with your children all over again. Get to know them inside and out. Play games. Go outside. The city is not on lockdown. They don't want you gathering in large groups, but you got a backyard, and if you don't have a backyard, you have a neighborhood, and if you don't have a neighborhood, there are parks that are close by. You can do those things without gathering in groups. Start a hobby. Now is the perfect opportunity to do that. Just this morning, I was talking to someone who said, you know, my son has decided that during this time, he's going to learn to play the guitar. What a great idea. Music makes the whole world better. This one's not very popular, but it could be very useful. Give the house a good cleaning. It's not like you got anything to do, and the dirt's going to continue to pile up, so just give the house a good cleaning. Maybe there's some things that you need to throw away. Maybe there's some things that you need to donate to the needy. Maybe some of the things that you have that you're not using can help somebody else. Check on each other. To my small group leaders, let me encourage you. I've told you for years that you are the pastor of the class that you lead. Your shepherding of that group has never been more important than it is right now. They need you to stay in contact with them, and we as a staff need you to stay in contact with us. Because the church needs to be the church. So check on your neighbors. Check on your small group people. Talk on the phone. Horrors! You've heard me say time and time again, my children will say, yeah, I talked to them the other day. I said, did you talk to them or did you text them? No, we texted. That's not talking. Talk. Maybe that's a hobby that you can pick up, learning to communicate. How about pray? How about read the scripture? How about do family church? As many negatives that have come with this situation, there are so many positives that can come out of this. I hope you will take advantage of those things. What is happening is not a surprise to God. The verse in Proverbs 4, again, 24 through 27, is similar to the teaching of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we also have a large crowd of witnesses surrounding us, look, the world's wanting to see how the church responds to this. There are elements of the world that is hoping this kills the church. I do not believe that it will kill the church, but I believe it will refine the church. I believe that those who are pretenders will be scraped off like dross and the purity will rise. At the end of this, will the church be smaller? Probably. But I believe it will be much more intentional. I believe it will be much more biblical. I believe it will be much more community-minded. As you gather in your homes this morning, you are being the first century church. That's what they did. They just didn't have the rabbi to come to them over YouTube. Therefore, since we have a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and the perfecter of our faith. It is He who cleans the heart. Work with Him to get rid of the trash. Work with Him to move out the piles of rubble that don't need to clutter your heart. I talked last week about living your life for an audience of one. It's ironic that I'd be preaching in this place to an audience of one almost. God is good. He wants to hear from you. Some of the trash in our life is easy to identify. Moral corruption, perverse behavior, evil acts, things that harm other people, bold opposition to God. But other trash is more difficult to discern. A lack of faith, desperation, hopelessness, fear, anxiety, a false belief system. Those things choke the wellspring of life. Trash, big or small, is still trash. And so we should embrace the challenge that Paul gave to Timothy when he said, purify yourself so that you can be a special instrument set apart, useful for the master. And get this, for every good work. Your good works don't stop because the world is shut down. Your usefulness to the master does not go away because the world is shut down. Your usefulness to the master increases. And so when you fast with an intentionality to know the love of God, but also fast with an intentionality to take the trash out so that the fog can be lifted from your heart. And lastly, You need to understand that keeping the right heart requires embracing God's truths. And embracing the God's truths result in changed behavior. And so when you fast, I want you to fast with the intention of changing your behavior. There has to be a goal of improving your spiritual self in this process. Not for the sake of simply doing the right thing, but for doing the right thing the right way with the right reasons. I told you last Sunday that it is possible to do the right things and still have a heart problem. Because if you do the right things with the wrong motivation or the wrong reason, if you do the right things only for self-preservation or for self-glorification, it's still wrong. So the hard part is to do the right thing the right way for the right reason, by embracing God's truth and fast with an intention of changed behavior. Fasting does you no good if your intention is not to have a corrected heart, i.e., living more like Christ. We should be energized with the truth that comes out of this fast. When this Proverbs passage, chapter 4, verse 20, started, Solomon's advice was pay attention and listen closely. Why? Because there are life lessons to learn. There are things that you need to put into practice in your life. Level paths that have solid foundations lead to success. But evil and unstable choices, apathetic choices, only lead to destruction. We must appreciate the difference between facts and truth. It's not enough to just know the facts about faith. Facts provide information, but truth provides transformation. The truth is, we are asked to be like Christ and behave like He would behave. Guarding your heart involves energizing your life with the transforming truths that God loves you. That God yearns for your heart to be clean so that He can allow the wellspring to bubble up, and so that your behaviors can change to look more like His Son. So as you fast, I would encourage you to do that. Guarding your heart is critical to experiencing all that God desires for you. When we recognize that our heart is treasured by God and that He loves it and you dearly, when we prioritize the task, when we minimize the trash, when we energize with the truth of changed lives and changed behavior, we position ourselves to receive God's blessing, which is what He says at the end of Matthew chapter 6, when He says, "He who sees what is done in secret rewards that behavior openly." All I'm asking for you to do is give up one meal per day. Be smart about it, be logical about it. If your health dictates that you can't do that, that's fine. But for most of us, we can do that. We can intentionally replace the time it would take to prepare and eat a meal by seeking God through prayer, reading the Scripture, and pursuing God clearly, so that our heart can have the fog lifted, so that our sin can be taken away, so that our eyes can focus clearly on Him, so that we can be correcting our behavior for kingdom glory. Jesus said, "Your Father who sees what is done will reward you." Let me ask you for the next 21 days to take up the fast. You may have questions about that. You may have questions this morning and would like to talk to someone. So if you have a question, feel free to call and talk to us. If you need somebody to pray with you this morning, feel free to call us. If you have a need this week, we have volunteers to help those of you who can't get out, to go and get out for you. Call us. The office is open. The church is alive and well. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the call to have the fog lifted from our hearts. we would ask that you partner with us in this fast, that you reveal yourself to us in this fast, that you manifest yourself to us in this fast, and receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Take care of one another.